My name is Jason Swallow. My day job is a dairy nutritionist, but I'm also a volunteer with Turbot Township Fire Company. I volunteer as the president. I'm an emergency medical responder, and I help out with fire police on accident scenes and fires. In the beginning of the pandemic, we were kind of gearing up for a massive call volume. We were expecting it to get really out of control. And we didn't really see that. Actually, we saw the opposite. Our call volume dropped to about half of what we normally get. And that was for the first couple months of the pandemic. And then as restrictions started to lighten up, you know, more cars were on the highway, people were feeling a little more comfortable getting out or just tired of being stuck inside, call volume started to increase. And then we almost saw the opposite, where it like doubled from where it normally was. So we kind of got hit with the effects of COVID sort of later than what you would have seen with like the hospitals and that kind of thing. I have multiple sclerosis, and nobody knew how COVID was going to affect that. And, you know, in the beginning, my kids were kind of paranoid. They were afraid I was going to get sick. That was a difficult conversation that I had with my kids. They knew I had to do what I had to do. But they were really concerned. But we had a lot of long family discussions on whether or not I should go out on a call. There was a time period where I decided, you know what, for the sake of the kids, I'm just not going to do it. But then I realized that, you know, somebody had to. And, you know, I put my faith in God that, you know, He had a plan for me. You know, He was going to see me through it. I think in the very beginning, nobody really knew what was going on. Locally, we didn't have a lot of cases, so I think we were kind of going through life as normal. You know, a lot of people were shut down working from home, but we were just kind of looking at it as like, well, what's the big deal? You know, nothing's really happening. And then, you know, as cases started hitting closer to home, I know myself personally, we took precautions. We wore, you know, the proper PPE. But when you get on scene and you're dealing with a patient, afterwards you're thinking, was that a cough I heard? You know, were they symptomatic? You know, was I exposed? You know, you kind of go through, it goes through your head, you know, the kind of the paranoia then. So yeah, in the very beginning, it was kind of business as usual, but then, you know, after about a month and a half, 2 months, it kind of really became real. We have a mission to, you know, protect the life and property of the residents. So we really, you know, you don't really have a choice. I mean, somebody's got to do it, so you do it. You know, it was tough to do some of the normal things that we do from an administrative side. It was stressful having to explain to a sick person's husband or wife why they couldn't go with them to the hospital or why they weren't allowed inside. I know personally for me, it brought me a lot closer to God. It really strengthened my faith. I think that's the best thing that came out of COVID for me, was just, you know, strengthening my faith and becoming closer to God and leaning on Him a whole lot more to get through this. I've definitely seen love play out this year. I saw it in a couple different areas. I think the biggest thing was there was a change in public opinion on public servants. They were admired for what they were doing because they were making the sacrifices, you know, to take care of those that couldn't take care of themselves. I saw a lot of understanding from the residents when you had to tell them that things have changed or things were different. You know, there seemed to be a greater understanding and a lot more thankfulness for what myself and what, you know, the guys of the department do. This year, my work was called essential, but nothing was more essential than when God sent His Son. So, we light a candle to remember when God sent love.
Say welcome once again here at our Milton campus online. Welcome to to Christ Wesleyan and CWC Sunbury. It is great to see you from the front to the back at the sound booth. How are you doing? Give a shout. Yeah? We are in the middle of our series, The Essentials, Delivered by God. And my name is Mike. I'm the family life pastor. And my wife and I just welcomed our third child into the world. Yeah, thank you. My wife is a champ, and all of you women who have bore children are a champ. God has clearly given grace for the situations that we face, and that includes those who have had the privilege and the pain of bearing children. So Caroline Grace arrived November 24th, 3:01 a.m., and we are super pumped. I believe our oldest daughter, Evelyn, held her the most when we first brought her home. And so we were like, well, we'd love to hold her too. And she's like, no, I'll feed her. You know, she gave her first bottle. It was great. And so Evelyn's at home with Caroline, Jill, you know, no, I'm just kidding. She's Jill's with her. But no, God has been so good. And we, as our family and serving as a family life pastor, we didn't, you know, we're not planning to continue to just, you know, fill the minivans or things like that. But I know what you're thinking. You probably need more nail polish. No, we are good, but we're thankful for the children that God's given us, and we're glad to be here. So this week we're talking about when God sent love. And last week we talked about hope, when God sent hope. And if you recall just a few little pieces about hope, one of the things that's really important now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. So when we talk about hope, there's an anticipation about what's to come. Now this week, we're going to talk about love. Yeah, we're going to talk about love. And in order for us to talk about love and the ones that follow, this is the hinge pin. Because if you read in Scripture, in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, Paul talks about, I could do everything right. I could check every box. I could cross every T. I could dot every I. But if I do not have, I'm nothing. So unless we go through this week, the rest of the weeks aren't going to matter. This is powerful and it is pivotal. And let me just quick say, pause real quick, PSA. No matter where you're at, from the front of the auditorium to the back, no matter where you're at and which couch you're sitting on or at our Sunbury campus, God knew that you would be here today. He wants you to hear about his love. And when he sent it, and we're going to talk about four things about when God sent love. So you can get your Bibles ready. We're going to look at several pieces of Scripture. And as we do, we're going to look at 4 points about when God sent love. So if you'd open your Bibles with me to Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. It's a preacher joke. We could talk about love throughout all of Scripture, right? And I'm thinking, okay, where are we going to go to talk about love? We could go anywhere. Because when God sent love, God is love. God is love. And so when we talk about the love that God has given us, we find that most clearly in Jesus Christ, his one and only Son. And so as we talk about love this morning, everything we're talking about involves Jesus Christ showing up to show us God's love. And Jesus said to his disciples, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So as we talk about love this morning and look through several parts of Scripture, I hope that your heart is encouraged. And I also pray that your heart is challenged. Because God is good in the encouragement as much as he is in the challenge. Amen? So do we welcome that? Do we look for that? Do we seek out his discipline for those whom he loves? So let's take a look at the first verse at the top of our outline, which says this: the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. Real quick, we're not going to dive too deep into this verse, but this is kind of a rudimentary word. Like they were kind of like, ooh, you know, like flesh. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling, tabernacled among us. The tabernacle was where God's Spirit showed up. The presence of God dwelled with his people in the tabernacle. Jesus made his dwelling, his tabernacle among us when he came, God in the flesh. We have seen his glory. This is written by John, one of Jesus' disciples, who wrote John in the series that we went through previously, Love God, Love Others. 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. We have seen, witnessed personally his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for showing us your love through Jesus Christ, your one and only Son. This morning, would you speak to each and every heart that hears your word and your truth? Would your grace and kindness draw us closer to you? And may we seek to carry out and respond to the love that you've first given to us, so that in our response, people will see who you are and how you're changing each and every one of our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, so as we look at this, love is essential. It's the hinge pin. It's the greatest. If you look in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, not to get too far ahead of us, we're going to get there, but Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 that these three remain, faith, hope, and the greatest of these is, and we know that without love, we are nothing. So here's where we are. Take a look at your outlines, and we are going to find out that when God sent love right on time, either by a raised hand or an emoji icon, how many of you ordered something on Black Friday? Okay, you raise it high. Raise it high. My eyes aren't that great. Okay, yeah. So you, okay, now keep your hands up if you ordered something. Keep your emojis there if you ordered something. Keep your hands up in Subway if you ordered something. How many of you have not yet received it? Yeah, you're still waiting. Amazon Prime, right? These boxes kind of look similar to something, you know, and I'm not criticizing any companies or anything like that, but you ordered something and it was supposed to show up. Where is it? Come on, I need that thing. When God sent love right on time. Now, some of you are probably waiting for things. Some of you are praying about things. Some of you are wondering, God, I believe in you, and I just ask, when are you going to show up and do the work that I need you to do? You're waiting on something. But let me tell you the truth, that no matter where you are, Pastor Ken prayed it just a few minutes ago, God knows our every thought. He knows all about us. And so there's nothing in your life that comes to him by surprise. Whoa, I wasn't ready for you to order that or pray for that. He sends things right on time. So let's take a look at his word and what God has given to us to tell us about the timing of love of Jesus Christ showing up. Galatians chapter 4, verse 4, this is the Apostle Paul writing, said this, but when the set time, just quick FYI, there's free coffee at the well. Anytime it's open, you can grab it and enjoy it. The caffeine is wonderful, so don't miss that. But when the set, had fully come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, Mary, born under the law to redeem those under the law, that we might receive the adoption to sonship at the set time. So God wasn't late. He wasn't delaying anything. He was right on time. Take a look at this. You see, and this is Paul writing in Romans, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, we couldn't do anything about it. Maybe you feel like there's nothing you can do. And the truth is, apart from God, you can do nothing. And yet, while we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Now, you might be wondering, well, Mike, why are we talking about the crucifixion when we're getting ready for Christmas? Well, we need to talk about what Christ did. He showed up when we celebrated at Christmas time so we can get to what he did on the cross for us. Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though, for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. So what he's saying is, though, when you look around, you might say, well, that person really doesn't deserve it. I mean, be honest. You've probably been there. I don't know if that's a good idea. I don't know if they deserve that. But Paul's saying, very rarely would someone do it for a righteous person. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, while we still didn't know we had a need, while we were still dead in our trespasses. There's a little bit of this interplay and reference for those of you that know the story of Abraham back in the Old Testament, where he said to God, God, my body is as good as dead. He was waiting on the promise to arrive on time. He said, God, my body is as good as dead. And God promised him that his descendants would outnumber the stars and everyone would be blessed through Abraham. And Paul kind of has this parallel going on here where when we were still sinners, dead in our trespasses, Christ died for you. He saw you, he sees you, he loves you, he knows you, he knew what you brought into this room, he knew what you brought into your browser, he knew what you brought into the auditorium at Sunbury Campus, and he has died for us, everything. And then, in those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. Now, this is talking about the timing of when Christ arrived. And this is really fascinating because when we look at what God has directed in Luke chapter 2, verse 1, about Jesus showing up, notice here how it says, and I didn't notice this until just recently, all the world. Well, it was all the Roman citizens. But as Luke is writing this, it's like all the world, all the civilized world is called together to give their name to pay taxes to Caesar and so that the government can know that you live there. And so Joseph and Mary went to Bethlehem, where if the census didn't happen, they wouldn't have been there. And you know perhaps the story. If you don't, there was no room for them in the inn. And so as at this time, I don't know that Mary planned on delivering Jesus at the inn. We're going to get there in a second. But in those days, the decree was put out and everyone came to be registered. So I wonder how often, like Joseph and Mary, they went to give their names so that they could be registered, the government could know they lived there, so that they could be taxed. And when you think about this, Rome was a place where they were at peace, but the Jews were hoping, God's people were hoping for someone to redeem them, to take them up out of the oppression that they felt from the government, from Rome. Rome was at peace, and Caesar Augustus, he was a guy that people called a lowercase g God. They said that they were at peace, and he was the one who brought the peace, but yet the Prince of Peace showed up into this area to overcome the sins of the world. And so when you look at what was happening all around what Luke was writing, I wonder how many of you maybe give your names to things and you're taxed by things and you feel this oppression from things and you're just wanting God to show up at the right time and you're waiting. But let's look on to see about when God sent love. Number two, when God sent love, God sent it into unexpected places. Unexpected places. Luke chapter 2, verse 7 says this, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger. Now, as a mother, I doubt that Mary desired to put Jesus in this place. I doubt that she wanted to put him here. I doubt that she perhaps even planned to put him in the manger. And yet, here she was. The situation was what it was. She rolled with the punches. She knew that Jesus was arriving and what they were going to name him. But there was no room for them in the inn. And don't you find it really fascinating that the Savior of the world, in the midst of unexpected places, unexpected circumstances, unexpected lack of a place to stay, the perfect one shows up into imperfect places. The perfect one shows up into imperfect circumstances. The perfect one uses imperfect people who will simply say, yes, here I am, Lord, use me. God has a plan and a purpose. And even in this, Jesus is born in an inn. How many of us live in such a way that we think this is our home? How many of us live in such a way that we think the things that we own are ours? How many of us live in such a way that we're hanging on to enjoying this life at the expense of hope, like we talked about last week? to come. See, Jesus Christ was born in an inn. You don't stay at an inn forever. You just stay at an inn for a little bit, and then you pass on through. God knows the number of our days. He knows the number of the hairs on our head. And he knows everything about us. And so Jesus was born into this unexpected place. Now, this isn't in your outline, but as we're talking about love, I think it's important that we notice this. You can turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5, verse 43. Matthew chapter 5, verse 43. And I think that we would do a disservice to not mention this dynamic about love. Take a listen to what Matthew writes in Matthew chapter 5, verse 43. You have heard it said. Now, this is Jesus speaking here. So listen to what Jesus says about this. You've heard it said, love your neighbor. So Jesus is referencing the Old Testament. Love your neighbor. And then he throws in something that the world would say. So you've heard scripture tell you, love your neighbor. And then he said, throws in something that the world would say, and hate your enemy. You've heard it said, you know, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. And he probably paused, looked around, and said this, if you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your own people, what are you doing more than others? Don't even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your Father in heaven is perfect. You see, while we were still sinners, remember that verse from Romans? Christ died for us, the ungodly. He showed up for his enemies and gave of himself, full of grace, full of truth. And then Jesus guides his followers, you and me, those he's drawing to himself to say, don't just love the people that are easy to love. If you want love to really show up, if you want love to really get some teeth, sink some teeth into a situation, if you want love to have impact, you've got to do it when it's hard. You can't just choose the easy things. And really, in order for growth to happen, we need to accept these difficult moments. And in so doing, we're responding to others the way that Christ has loved us. So are we loving those that are different from us? Are we loving those who think differently, look differently, talk differently, walk differently? These aren't my words, these are Jesus. So if you have an issue, take it up with him. But he calls us to love those who are our enemies. And you know what you're doing when you do that? You're showing people how powerful Jesus Christ is, because you're having the attitude that Jesus Christ had, giving up of himself, of his rights, taking on the very nature of a slave, being helpless like a baby, said, I will surrender myself for the better of those around me. Do we love our enemies? Let's look at this. Because, and just as we move on to point three, think about this. How do you know when love is love? Think about that. How do you know when love is love? What does it take? Does it take a card? Does it take a gift? Does it take some, you know, unexpected kindness? There's a ton of ways that you can display it. But oftentimes, you probably feel love the most when you realize that you deserve it the least. You probably have felt the most love when you realize that there's nothing you could do in return. That's what Jesus Christ has done for us. He's shown up into a place, into our world, in such a way that there's nothing that you could do, no good life that you could live, could make it to heaven because of your actions. He showed up to do the thing that only he could do, because he loves you. So, take a look at point three. When God sent love, God sent victory. And if you look at this verse, Paul wrote this in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 8. Love never fails. Love never fails. God is love. God never fails. There's a line in a song. He doesn't pick a battle he's going to lose. He doesn't pick a battle that he's going to be defeated in. God does not fail. And so you might be going through something this morning. I'm sure that you're in an unexpected place. We're in like the fifth year of 2020 right now. But God shows up in these places. And how do you know? How do you receive? How do you live out the love that we've been shown in Jesus Christ? It's not on the screens, but if you look through your Bible just a few verses earlier, these are probably familiar, and you've probably heard these before, but let me read to you the qualities that Paul lists of love. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not, he turns it to the negative. He inverts it to say, this is what it does not do. It does not envy. It doesn't look around and say, oh, I want that. Meaning, it trusts, hey, God's given me this, so I'm going to accept it and say thank you. How many of you are thankful for today that you could be here in person, online, at our Sunbury campus? And that's not like I'm asking for a patronizing clap to fill some space, but how many of you are really thankful God's given you today? You didn't know that you would get up. I don't know, maybe some of you plan that way, but I hear this said sometimes, you know, people will say, I plan on this if the Lord wills it. Do you live as though if the Lord wills things and allows things? Or do we make our plans and not trust that the Lord directs our steps? See, love is patient, it's kind, it doesn't envy, it doesn't boast, it's not proud, it doesn't dishonor others, it's not self-seeking, it's not easily angered and keeps no record of wrongs. It doesn't delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. So in order for love to be seen and evidenced, if love is patient, there's going to be moments that will test your patience. People will say, don't pray for patience because God's going to give you, you know, like situations that are going to test your patience. No, pray for that. Why are you afraid of what God's going to give to you? If he's allowing impatient moments into your life, he's good. He knows what's going to happen and he does what's best for his children. I don't hold Caroline in my arms and say, you're crying. You just wait for that milk until I'm going to give it to you. No. No, of course not. Your Heavenly Father loves you. He knows what's been going on in your life. He knows the problems that you've been facing. And in order for us to walk through our day-to-day, he wants us to receive that love. And that means when we experience difficult moments, are we choosing to say, God, I trust you in your sovereignty, which means his plan is perfect. He's still in control, even when our situation is not. Are we going to take the step of faith in him? See, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. So faith involves, I trust you, God. I trust you, God. I trust you, God. See, sometimes faith is lived forwards and understood backwards. And so will we respond in faith, especially when we experience difficult moments? Because God sends victory. And some of you might feel defeated this morning. Some of you might feel like there's no hope. Man, I think 2020 is going to go on for another 5 years. I don't. Maybe you think that. But maybe you just feel defeated and like there's no air to breathe or you can't get out of where you're at, the situations that you're facing. But remember that Almighty God has shown us love in Jesus Christ and love does not fail. It doesn't mean your situations are always going to be perfect because they won't. Jesus said that. In this life, you're going to have trouble. But take heart, because I have overcome the world that you live in. So God sent love right on time. God sent love into unexpected places. And when God sent love, God sent victory. And when God sent love, God sent an invitation. How many of you still get snail mail? How many of you still get snail mail? Okay, some of us. How many of you would rather not get snail mail? You know, you know when you go to the post office, it's my job in our home to go to the post office. And the girls love to walk with me and, you know, turn the key in the box and, you know, open it up and carry it and we'll walk in and then we'll walk out. And you know when you know kind of by the shape of the envelope of if it's something you want to open or not. You know what I mean. If it's got that little, you know, plastic window and you see your name, it's like, ah, well, I have to open that. If it's in this shape, you're like, ooh, I wonder who sent me something. How many of you have ever gotten a save the date to a wedding? A save the date. You are pumped because it's a different shape, doesn't have that little window bar, and then you're thinking, another piece of mail's coming. I'm excited to get that too. When God sent love, God sent an invitation. When God sent his one and only son, Jesus Christ, he came with you in mind. See, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. And God loved the world in this way, that he gave his one and only son, that anybody like you, different from you, you yourself, if you believe in him, you won't perish but have eternal life. Real quick, anybody. You might have heard someone say, oh, I don't know if I'm going to go to church because if I go to church, the church is going to burn down. If someone says that to you, just say this. We've got really good insurance. I want the fire of God to fall on this place. And if someone is afraid to show up, man, God has come for you. He's come for me. None of us can boast but accept in the name of the Lord. And look at what Jesus said to Nicodemus, a Pharisee who was searching and came to him at night in the dark. God did not send. He did not deliver. The essential of love did not come into the world to condemn the world. Oh, a bunch of sinners. No. He came to save the world through him. And you see, Paul wrote in Romans that what leads a heart to repentance is God's kindness. And maybe you need to know this morning, God is kind. He loves you. He has a plan and a purpose for your life. He does not want you perish. He's not slow in keeping his promise, but he's faithful. See, 1,000 years are like a day to the Lord, and a day is like 1,000 years. God's desire is that every single person comes to him to say, yes, Jesus, I need you to forgive me from the junk in my life, the sin in my life, the things that I've done wrong that have kept me from you and destroyed and damaged relationship with others. He came for you. He came for me. And so, I'm just a farmer scattering seed. But if you're here this morning and you feel a tug on your heart that you don't know the love that we've been talking about this morning, God wants you to choose him as your Savior by placing your faith in Jesus Christ, his one and only Son. And who is Jesus? Jesus is the sinless and spotless Lamb, God's one Son, his only Son, who came so that anyone who believes that he came and lived on earth, died on the cross, shed his blood for your sins and my sins, anyone who puts their faith in Jesus Christ would not perish but have eternal life. And maybe that's you this morning. Maybe you've never placed your faith in God. Maybe you're seeking after him. And at our Milton campus, at our Sunbury campus online, you can make that decision wherever you're at. You're gonna talk to him. It can't be my words to him for you. It's gotta be your words to him from you. And so all we must do is confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that Jesus is Lord. It means admitting we're a sinner, believing in Jesus, telling him that or confessing, and then deciding to follow him. Now, if you do know Christ as your Savior, maybe the challenge and the step for you to take is look out for those whom you can show love to that don't deserve it, that don't expect it, that haven't been looking for it, those who you would say are your enemies. God showed his love for you in that way. So if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, we love because he first loved us. And if you don't, I want to give you an opportunity to make that decision right now. If you bow your heads with me, we're going to pray together. And if you want to ask Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sins and begin a new life with him because God has delivered love, you can do that right where you sit. In either auditorium, Milton or Sunbury, you can do that right on your couch. And we want to celebrate what God wants to do this morning. You can pray something like this. Dear Jesus, thank you for sending love. Thank you for sending yourself. God, I have a need for you. I've sinned, and I can't get rid of it myself. So please forgive me. Cleanse me. Make me new. I place my faith in you as my Savior and my Lord. So Holy Spirit, fill me. Thank you for this birthday. Thank you for coming for me. Guide my heart to walk with you all of my days. As the old has gone and the brand new in Jesus Christ has come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. When God sent love, he sent it for you. And if you've made that decision here at our Milton campus, online, or at our Sunbury campus, we want to celebrate that. Please talk with me, one of our staff, fill out the form online. We want to celebrate what God has done today and what he wants to do through you. God bless you. Amen.